Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety and environment learning into simple bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business or your career, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. Let's look at how we can avoid the pitfalls when we're delivering training. Alex, we're going to talk through our sort of favorite little points that we reckon people can think about through experiences of our own and areas where we've maybe had a mishap in the past ourselves. Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, for me, it's always about your own nerves and, you know, you overthinking, you know, what you're delivering. And, you know, sometimes the information that you're presenting is just got to be told. It's got to be delivered. But it's just your style and personality, I think, people want to see, rather than just trying to be either too corporate and too kind of like into the business buzzwords. Just be yourself, deliver something that, you know, you would be happy to sit through yourself. That's the test, I think.
That's the acid test to make sure to keep your audience engaged. It's a real pertinent point that to try and be as natural as possible. And I guess we've chatted about this in the past, that once you start overthinking everything that you're saying, then automatically it becomes unnatural. And then that in itself is damaging to your engagement. Something that I'd written down initially was just to make sure that you have a defined outcome, and it goes back to what we were discussing about planning training, to make sure that whatever goals and objectives that you want the learners to achieve are clearly laid out, so that whatever direction your training goes in, that you can always bring it back to that objective and make sure that whatever content you're delivering or whatever discussions that you're having, you can always make them relevant to that end goal. Would you have any thoughts on that or experiences from that point of view?
Yeah, because, you know, the learning outcome is that, you know, you want to pass on your a skill or some knowledge. So, you know, you might be helping them towards sitting an exam or creating a project or doing something else. And, you know, you've got to kind of reemphasize the learning objective. Otherwise, you're kind of saying, well, I'm just going to give you all this information and now I've ticked the box. And like, people know straight away that you're doing that. But if you've got an outcome and you're taking them on a journey, like a learning journey, it's like a, you know, I like my film. So you're taking them on a film, you're telling them, you know, what's going on. You take them through the kind of, you know, like any good Hollywood movie has a script. You're taking them through a bit of a journey and you're either trying to get somewhere or you're trying to help them kind of think differently. So to just always go back to that kind of purpose that you talked about, you know, that objective, that learning thing.
I think that ties in well to, I suppose, what I mentioned about cognitive overload and giving too much information. Obviously, in this digital age, our attention spans are becoming less and less able to cope with, you know, vast amounts of information. So I suppose the question to ask yourself, if you are building that story, like you're saying, is how are you maintaining engagement through your training process? Have you broke it down into manageable chunks so that you can, you know, test people's knowledge? You can, you know, give them a thumbs up once they've grasped a certain aspect of your training and keep that motivation through your whole training.
I can't say anything on that. I think that's absolutely bang on. You know, if you overload them with too much information, particularly if you've designed a course yourself, you know, that hasn't been tried and tested. You know, a lot of people, you know, go on the HSE website, you find a load of information. I've had this. People have sent me, you know, examples. Oh, Alex, you think this is really going to stick? Is this really what people want to see? And it's just a complete regurgitation of the regulations, or it's like an approved code of practice that's been designed into a course. And I'm thinking, well, you know, in the nicest possible way, maybe you should kind of split it up and make this part the kind of bit that you really want them to focus on, because a lot of that is going to switch them off and you're going to lose your message and that opportunity for them to create that bit of knowledge and that new skill.
Yeah, I think that's something as well for us to be aware of, and especially as someone who's been immersed in the subject matter for, you know, a long period of time, to watch out for that curse of knowledge that people talk about, where you end up basically just trying to show off how much you know about a particular subject rather than thinking about how it's perceived by the person trying to learn. And that obviously should form a big part of your planning in terms of the content and also the delivery.
Yeah, I think maybe we hide behind, you know, that technical aspects of safety that we know about, or well-being or whatever it is, and you kind of think that's a bit of a shield for you. I think it's Brené Brown talks about being vulnerable, and this is the danger. People don't allow themselves to be vulnerable, you know, when you're presenting. And if you are vulnerable, people like that. They see the real you. And actually, the people in the audience, they also drop their guards and they allow themselves to be vulnerable. But if you stand up there and you kind of spiel this stuff out, and, you know, we've all been there and a bit guilty of it, you don't get that kind of richness in a room. So I think being vulnerable and just saying, do you know what, we're not going to cover everything, but these are the kind of key things, like you're saying, you know, that I think goes down so much better.
I think that's awesome. That's a really good point about, you know, the vulnerability then being reciprocated by your audience, which opens up a lot of conversation which otherwise wouldn't happen. How does that then, just to wrap us up, Alex, do you think in terms of feedback, getting valuable feedback, is there anything that you, I mean, obviously getting feedback in itself is valuable. Everybody should know that. Are there any tactics or strategies that you would use to make sure you're getting valuable feedback? Not just, I'm sure we all know the trainer who, you know, gives every person in the class a wink and a nod and makes sure they tick the excellent 10 out of 10 box, just so they look good for whoever's going to be looking at it. But if we're wanting constructive criticism, is there any particular way that you would go about trying to get that?
Yeah. I think the fear is you fear negative feedback, and you always want positive. And obviously, you know, if you're running a consultancy or your job's on the line, and you know you're worried, and you know you just want to hit that performance target. What I'd say is all feedback is good feedback, because you know you want to learn, you are growing yourself every time you present. You know, just pat yourself on the back. People don't like presenting. There's not many people that can stand up there for 3 or 4 days or even half an hour and present. It takes someone to have real courage to do it. But there's more courage when you ask for feedback. And don't just, you know, I think they call it a smile sheet. Basically, when you hand out the feedback, what you're getting really, you're getting instantaneous satisfaction. And what do I mean by that? You're getting, do people, it's like when you eat a Mars bar, how do you feel? You know, does it taste good? You know, you might not like a Mars bar, but anyway, if you know, it's that instantaneous thing of, I've just eaten something, or I've just learned something. Do I feel good about it? What's that satisfaction? And, you know, to capture that satisfaction, whether it's, you know, a negative satisfaction, you take it. But don't go, oh, you know, was the food nice? Was, you know, that's just getting away from the fact. It's like, did I learn something that I can apply to my role? That's a so much better question. And that's why you need to kind of build these question sets into your feedback forms as soon as the course is finished and take that information.
Okay, so it's as much about asking the right questions as anything else then. I think we've touched on a lot of good points there. And I think you're right about, you know, it does take, if you are the trainer, it does take a lot of courage and energy to get up in front of an audience, especially if that audience isn't fully bought into the process. So, you know, don't be too hard on yourself as well. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.